Very good. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And this particular verses are speaking of the end times when Christ will return at the second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming. We know that we're living in the last days, and the Bible says the last days, perilous times shall come, dangerous times shall come. And though we don't know the precise time in which Christ will return, it says we begin to see the symptoms, if you would, we will see the various signs that have been put there for us. And though chapters 21 and these are talking about the tribulation time, we understand and know that though we speak about the tribulation time and all the terrible things that will happen during the tribulation, we will see signs of those before the tribulation takes place. Just like we talk about the temple will have to be rebuilt. Well, if you see the temple beginning to be rebuilt, look up, for your redeemer draweth nigh. We know if the temple in Jerusalem begins to be rebuilt, that Christ is returning. So there are definite signs, there are definite things we see in our society today. People be lovers of their own selves, and there's so many things there talked about in Scripture that are absolutely taking place today. We understand the world is winding down. It is not progressing, it's digressing. We see that all around us, don't we? We live in a day in which we know that Christ could return at any moment. We believe in the imminent return of Christ. No prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. In other words, all prophecies are fulfilled. Everything that needs to be done has been done in order for Christ to return, and He could return tonight. Amen. We love that. And I'm looking forward to heaven. Heaven's getting sweeter all the time. That's a song, but I won't sing it for you. And y'all pray for Brother Stan and for my dad. Pray for my dad. This will be his first night to be in the house by himself. And I just feel for him. I really do. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Distress of nations. Distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Man's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Pressure. As we wind down, as we head towards the second coming of Christ, especially during that tribulation time, things are going to get very hot. In fact, the Bible even says it literally will get hot during the tribulation. And there will be, the earth will be hotter then. We know that pressure is upon us every day. All of us experience pressure. All of us experience anxiety, if you would, or pressure points every day, from jobs to financial to health to losses of family. Whatever it may be, we feel that pressure. And can I tell you tonight that attitude has a lot to do with how we face pressure. How we face our problems has a lot to do with our attitude. And so we'll speak on that tonight. Ready? Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, bless this time. Help us, Lord, again to rely upon you. Lord, we know that you can do anything. Your yoke is easy, your burden's light. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but that is such as is common to man. Can I remind you tonight that whatever problem you may be facing, whatever pressures that you may be under, that they are common to all men. Again, all these years of counseling and meeting people in my office and in their homes, I've yet to find very many that ever surprise me when they start talking about the problems, because most people have the same problems. It's just that 1% rarity that we find, but 99% of the time, a couple who comes to my office and has a marital problem, I've met with many couples that have that same problem. So such as is common to man, whatever you're facing tonight, whatever pressure you may be facing, understanding that the person sitting across from you or the person sitting next to you has probably had the same problem and faced the same pressures. We all face the same problems. We all attitudes. We talk about the difference of attitudes, and we all have problems as many times with anger, and we've addressed that. We've preached two Wednesday nights on anger and having and how to deal with our anger. We've addressed worry. We've addressed inferiority and disappointment and many other attitudes. And can I tell you that attitude will absolutely affect everything in your life. It is important to wake up in the morning and saying, praying, Lord, help me live today in the spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, help me to live today in light of your return, and go into your day having that attitude. That attitude. Lord, I want to live for you today, and I want to live as if you were going to return at any moment. And that will sure help us as we go throughout our day. After having read our Bible and praying and begin our day, it'll sure help our attitude. Pressure. Pressure. Pressure is a huge problem to all of us. Pressure. We talk about advancements in our society, and I've used this illustration 1,000 times, but as Brother Wiggins stated Sunday night, microwave's even too slow for me. I'm not sure how we could heat up something quicker, but I want it quicker. I take that back. You know, I've gotten to wear the chimichangas you buy at Sam's. None of y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, so some of y'all go to Sam's and go in there and buy a box of chimichangas. They're like $2 for 75 of them. I'm exaggerating a little bit. And then you, instead of putting in the microwave, put them in the oven and bake them. It's more than amazing. It's awesome. But I want the microwave to be quicker. I want the microwave to be quicker. I want my computer to come on faster. I mean, we live in that society. All the advancements, the washer machine, you know, dishwasher, all these things that we see today, were, you know, supposed to make our life easier. They've made our life more intense. They've made our life under more pressure. It's faster paced. I'll never forget my first time to go to Mexico. And we went down, and me and Brother Jernigan, my pastor, went down and saw Brother Tommy Ashcraft in that ministry there in Monterrey, Mexico. And, well, what a blessing to see that ministry. They ran about 2,000, had about 100 in their seminary. It was a blessing to be down there. But I got a first-hand look, a first-hand experience on a slower-paced society. The second time I went to Mexico, I went to visit the Casillas family. And again, that was a blessing. We took about 15 or 20 from our church down to Mexico. And then the Casillas family, now that we know that they were killed there on the field and died. So we spent about a week there, 10 days, I think, and helping them address some problems they had with their building and painting and just doing all sorts of things. And one of the things we needed to do was repair some pews and some other things. And so we needed certain tools to get that done. And so it took us literally 3 days to get the material and tools together that I could have done in 2 hours here at a Home Depot. But see, there, at least this was 20 years ago, not that long ago, this would have been 14 years ago, there you have to go like to every little different store. And at every store, you talk to everybody. It took a lot of time. It really, really just wore me out. I said to myself, if I ever come to Mexico again to help a missionary, I will bring everything with me. I will bring the biggest trailer possible. I'll take everything with me. Just slow paced. The missionary, Brother Casillas, had been there 20 years. He was as slow as the... I was like, Brother Casillas, what can I do? He said, this is the way it is, brother. You know, and I just, you know what? You just had to deal with it. We live in a fast-paced, pressure society. We do. And all of us experience it. All of us experience it. And definition, pressure, the state of being squeezed or crushed. I like that. That which affects the body or depresses the spirit. Any severe affliction, distress, calamity, or grievance. Urgency, as the pressure of business. Pressure is occasioned by weight or gravity, by the expansion of fluids, by elasticity. I said it right. It's like they're stretching you. Under pressure and stretches you. We think about nervous breakdowns and things like that, or burnout. And why are psychiatrists so wealthy, right? And psychologists so wealthy? Because of the fast-paced society. I'm telling you, we see it all around us. One of the things I've witnessed as a pastor over the years is parents who run away from their own families. It's amazing to me how many, especially it seems like ladies, and I'm not getting on the ladies tonight, but it's amazing how many ladies in the ministry after 23 years, ladies who have walked away from their families. Ladies, not men. Men have too, but I'm just surprised by the ladies who'd walk away from their kids. And you know what they say? It's too much pressure. You know what they say? I don't get to have any fun anymore. All the pressure and the weight upon men and women, parents. Again, we think about being a Christian does not immunize us from pressure. In fact, at some point, sometimes it intensifies it. Because I can tell you now, the devil won't go after the lost person, but the devil will go after a Christian. And we face that pressure as well. Pressure produces physical symptoms such as a physical response as seen in heart-related problems and stomach problems. And these things pop up all the time under pressure. Stress causes heart-related problems, causes stomach-related problems. I don't have any idea what any of that means. It makes a person sometimes pop some tums and can make somebody overeat. Men's hearts will fail them as they view Christ at His return. That's what the Scripture said a while ago. Men's hearts will fail them. The pressure, intense pressure, affects our hearts physically. I'm talking about physical problems. I can just tell you, you need to get the pressure problem fixed in your life, or it can physically affect your life. It can cause physical harm to you. We think about also the scheduling. I'm talking about pressure procedures or pressure producers. What produces pressure? We think about the physical problems. We think about scheduling. As we think about routine responsibilities. In other words, pressures of life sometimes are just simply your job. Your job. And some of you retired now. Maybe your job is... No, I'm not going to get on that. It's commuting. If I was commuting from here to Plano every day or from here to Dallas every day... I'm praying for you. That is amazing. Amazing. The conditions of this life. In other words, pressure comes from the routine of life. Job and commuting and conditions and home duties and cooking and kids and all those things. And we have those demands upon our life. Remember that as the apostles ministered to people day after day after day. The Bible says there in Mark that they went into a deserted place and there they rested and there they prayed. Sometimes we need to come apart before we come apart. And though we shouldn't use, and I'm going to cover this in a moment, and though you shouldn't use vacations and hobbies as escapism, there is a time to have a vacation and there is a time to have some hobbies in order to help and relieve the pressures in our life. But not the primary fix of pressure, and I'll cover that in a moment. Not only do we have the ordinary things of life, the daily schedule, not only to deal with the physical problems, but also just the social pressure. In other words, peer pressure. See, peer pressure isn't just for teenagers. It doesn't just happen to teenagers, but it happens in our life. There's a struggle in some lives, not all of us, but some, who struggle with keeping up with the Joneses, right? They got a bigger house, they got a bigger car, and we want a bigger standard of living, and so we go into debt and have financial problems, and it causes pressure. Pressure. I am telling you today, young couples, there is no need to have a credit card anymore. As these bank cards have come out now in the last few years with a Visa logo or a MasterCard logo on it, there is no need to have a credit card anymore. Because the excuse used to be, well, I'll keep a credit card for emergencies. Because I need that Visa logo or that MasterCard. Nope, don't need it anymore. It's already on your bank card. And by the way, most of you know this now because it's happened to you. If somebody steals money off of that card, the bank has to give it back to you. Every time. Don't let them lie to you. If it's got a Visa card on, Visa logo, MasterCard logo on it, it is a credit card. It's a bank card, but let me just tell you, there's no need, have I said that yet? No need to have a credit card anymore. Don't have one. Some of you Dave Ramsey fans don't need a credit card. Don't get into that trap. I will move on. Money pressures. Don't get yourself in debt. We need to be careful about the pressure of keeping up with the Joneses. The pressure some, I don't have this problem, but keeping up in fashion and, you know, the way we dress and some people are just caught up in success and having to go to that next level. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not wrong to try to climb the ladder if that's what God wants in your life. But certainly it shouldn't produce negative pressure in your life. I'm going to talk about some positive pressures in a minute. But if it's producing negative pressure in your life and causing you an anxiety and doing all those things, fooey on it. You don't have to have a bigger house. And your kids would much rather have your time than your money. Hello. Love is not spelled things. It's spelled T-I-M-E. Oh, I just want my kids to have more than I had. Fooey on that. They want your time. They want you to be at the baseball game if you can. They want you to play out in the front yard some baseball and throw the football around. That's what they want. They want daddy to go to work earlier so he can come and coach football. That's what they want. And you'll look back on it and you'll say, I'm so glad I spent time with my children. I'm glad I did. And I'm still doing it. Spend time with your kids. Don't conform to the pressures of society. It's amazing how this is true in Christian circles. I think about the world out there doing it, but there are people in this audience who are doing it. No doubt. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Man, we shouldn't be conformed to this world system. Success isn't about whether you make more money than somebody else or you have a better job. Success is how do your kids turn out? How's your marriage? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Savior? And that's what it means. Boy, we ought to be careful. I think this is number 4, talking about pressure producers. Sometimes we can produce pressure on ourselves, personal pressure, by setting unattainable goals. Sometimes we do this to our children. We act like our kids are the next, you know, professional NFL player. And we push our kids that way. Like, why don't we just let that happen? If it happens, it happens, instead of pushing them. And by the way, a preacher can do the same thing as far as ministry is concerned. You know what? If my kids are going to be in the ministry, I want them to do it on their own, not because I pressure them to do it. I've never said to any of my children, I want you to be a preacher when you grow up. Never, ever said that. Making unnecessary vows. I'm laughing because I don't lie. I really don't. There's only I tell you the person I lie to the most. I'm fixing to confess my sins. Y'all ready? Person I lie to the most. Y'all are all in your seats. Who is it going to be? Is my trainer. Oh, I'm going to work out tomorrow, you know, and I don't show up. Unattainable goals. We need to be careful about making unattainable goals and then also making unnecessary vows. In other words, making vows we cannot keep. The Bible says, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. We need to be careful as to who we commit. Because sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to pressure. Be careful about doing that. Sometimes we're pressured simply by resisting the old nature. Man, our old flesh is terrible sometimes, isn't it? Man, the old flesh craves stuff and wants stuff. I mean, I want a Kit Kat right now. It wants stuff. It does. It's just amazing how dealing with sin in our own life and dealing with the flesh in our own life produces pressure. And if we're not careful, if we don't lay that at the Lord's feet, it will hurt us, cause damage to us. Striving against sin. Hebrews 12:4 talks about striving against sin. Striving against sin. That means it's a struggle. And we see that in Paul's life. By the way, I know I say this every time, but Romans chapter 7 says that Paul struggled with the flesh, what makes you any better? What makes me any better? And we laugh about my Kit Kat thing, but we struggle. It's a struggle. It's a constant struggle. The old man and the new man, the old nature, the new nature is struggling. Striving against sin. Lastly, we talk about the spiritual warfare. When it comes to pressure in our own life, we must understand there is a battle taking place that we cannot see. And the devil hates our guts. The Bible says he's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. He doesn't want to see you come on a Wednesday night service. He doesn't want you to come and hear a sermon on pressure and how to deal with pressure in your life. He hates you. And so the principalities and powers, that's why the Bible says that we're to put the whole armor of God on, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'll never forget the sermon I heard years ago on that particular section where it says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, you need to put your armor on every day. You need to put the sword of the Spirit and all the armor on, the spiritual armor on every day, because you do not know when the devil's going to attack. You don't know when the evil day is coming. And so we should be ready. We should be armed and ready, prepared for battle. Read our Bibles and pray every day. Keep close to the Lord. Have that relationship with the Lord. There are some positive points to pressure. Pressure produces progress. It fills a ship's sails. Pressure produces power when it turns a generator. Pressure produces diamonds. Pressure is a product, is productive when it promotes achievement. In other words, there are good pressures when it promotes achievement. I know this has been a long time ago, but I used to lift weights and I used to be pretty good at it. And I appreciate coaches and my dad who pushed me, saw the potential, that talent that the Lord had given me by way of my body structure. And I lifted weights and won state in high school in powerlifting. And pressure produced that achievement. Good peer pressure. Daddy pressure. Coach pressure. And it was good for me. Pressure is productive when we have deadlines to make. And in other words, you have ability to measure achievement or measure a workload or whatever the case is. So, I mean, we all have those deadlines and things that have to be done. It makes measurements possible. If we didn't have deadlines, we'd never get nothing done, right? None of y'all like that? Procrastination's the thief of time. Having pressure prevents procrastination. And I am the worst procrastinator sometimes. I think I've gotten a little better at it. It takes pressure to reach any goal. It takes pressure to reach a goal. Pressure. I hope it should be the good kind of pressure. We do this with kids a lot. There are certain pressures we need to put upon children to make better grades, and pressures we put upon them to act right and do right. Pressures we put upon them to behave and so forth. But those pressures never go away from us, too. I'm thankful for a church family who pressures me a little bit. I get up here on Sunday, I'm pressured a little bit. I'm pressured by, I want to preach and teach something to you guys that would be worthwhile. Right? Pressure. I don't want to just retread and redo and go. I want to give you something fresh. And there's some pressure there. Positive pressure. I don't see that. I've got to get another sermon together. No, I'm like, I like getting sermons together. I like studying. It's what I got in the ministry for. The rest of the stuff just happened. Pressure. 3 sermons a week. I love it. I wrote in the front of my Bible. I haven't said this in a while. Would I listen to myself 3 times a week? I wrote this in front of my Bible. Would I listen to myself 3 times a week? Sometimes I don't know if I would or not. I'm glad you guys put up with me. By the way, it's a quote from Eddie Johnson, so you're good. All right. Pressure preventers. How to prevent pressures. Number 1, And we're almost done. Don't overload. This is simple stuff, but too much air in a tire causes a flat, right? So just as air in a vehicle tire keeps it going, so life goes. We need to be careful about putting too much pressure on ourselves, too much pressures on other people. Don't overestimate your capacity. We think about a Mazda Miata maybe wasn't meant for, you know, a 200-something pound man. Too much pressure. We overload someone. I used to have a, and I still have it, a 60 Chevrolet pickup sitting out in my my pasture. I bought it when I was 13 for $125. My wife says, "Won't you sell that thing?" I said, "No, it's going to sit out there and rust to the ground. I'll never sell that truck. Someday I'm going to fix it up. By then it'll have a tree growing in the middle of it. Did y'all see that? That's a good one. I like that one." I'll never forget one time, several times, my dad needed some dirt, you know, to put in the flower bed or whatever it was, and so he sent me somewhere to get dirt in my truck. And man, that little 60 Chevrolet pickup, you know, they weren't built all that, you know. So I put that dirt in the back, I shoveled it in. I said, "Well, I can get a little more, and that truck is like this, and driving it home, it was like a boat. Front wheels barely touching the ground, you know. Overloaded. And listen, in our own lives, we can overload ourselves. And if we're not careful, our life becomes like a boat. Not a lot of steering there, and we can get off track. We need to be careful about overloading ourselves, overcommitting ourselves. By the way, overcommitting produces underachievement. Know when to say no. This is difficult for anybody, especially for a pastor and others who are in those kind of positions. Know when to say no. We got so many irons in the fire, we can't, you know, see ourselves coming and going. Amen. Number two, so don't overload, and two, do unload. Right? Pressure cookers have a release valve. Even God rested the seventh day. And I'm going to make this point. Sunday was to be a rest day. Let's clarify. Sunday was to be a day set aside for the Lord, but also for rest. When I was growing up, my dad made it very clear. We didn't mow the yard on Sunday. Now, I know some of you, that may be the only time. Maybe the only time. But in our house, growing up, for the most part, it was rest time. And we actually, now, as kids, we didn't take naps, but it was nap time. It was rest time. It was family day. It was time set aside for God and the family. I want to encourage you. You ought to try that. It's good to take a rest every once in a while. And I know some of you may work 6 days. By the way, I'm going to brag on my dad. Y'all ready? I think he's still the best Christian I've ever met. My dad worked 6 days a week growing up. He worked 6 days a week. He worked 48 hours every week, all the day of my life growing up. He didn't have Saturdays off. It's amazing what can be accomplished even when you work 6 days a week and how you can still have time for your family. I know some of y'all work that kind of schedule. Man, you just you've got to make that time to rest a little bit on Sunday. And let me clarify too also, don't get overloaded here at the church. Don't take on too much responsibility that you can't rest on Sunday from time to time. Amen? Help me out. Everybody good? Everybody. Okay, let's go on. Diversions. It's good to have diversions. It's good to do something different. It's good to have hobbies. It's good to have vacations. Again, these are necessary from time to time to give us some rest time and get us diverted from our normal everyday activity. But I can tell you, I believe some of this has gone too far, especially when it comes to sports and some other entertainment. In other words, our society today is using entertainment as an escapism. Listen, you can't escape your problems by going to a football game. You can't escape your problems by going on vacation. It's good to be diverted a little bit and have a vacation and hobbies and so forth, but it's still going to be there when you get back. So deal with it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't use it as escapism. Use it as a way to physically rest and get apart and those things, but deal with those problems and lay those at the Lord's feet. Lastly, when it comes to unloading, commune with God. Elijah did after his victory at Mount Carmel. Remember that? As he sat there under the tree, man, he communed with God, and God fed him and ministered to him. The angels ministered unto him. Listen, if you'll go to the Lord and lay your burden at his feet, he'll minister to you. He'll encourage you. Our Savior will minister to you. He'll come to you, provide the needs you have, relational needs, physical needs, emotional needs, financial needs. He'll minister to you. He'll encourage you. We need Him. And we need to bring those things to the Lord. Matthew 11 says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." The Lord is there to carry your burden. The Lord is there to lift you up when you're down. When the pressures of this life are weighing you down, when health or financial, whatever the problems are weighing you down, the Lord is there to lift you up. He cares for you. Go to him in your time of need. He lifts the load. By the way, his load is a lot lighter than the world's load. You get under the load of the world, it will take you out. I'd much rather be under the load of the Lord, under his yoke. He said his yoke is easy. His burden is light. You want a lighter load? Go to the Lord. You want to lighten your load? Go to the Lord. He'll take care of that for you. The Lord instructed his disciples to come apart into a desert place, to get away from the pressure. Again, as we are to survive the pressures of the 21st century, it's essential that we follow the Master's advice to come apart. And I said it earlier, we must come apart before we come apart. Come apart. I know there's times in which we need rest. Maybe you're there. Maybe tonight you need to unload some things. Maybe tonight you need to come to the Lord and just say, "Lord, this has really got me. You've said your burden's light and your yoke is easy, Lord. I cast my care upon you." Say, "Preacher, I've tried that before. Try it again." Well, I've tried it many times. Try it again. Keep trying it until you get the victory. It's not the Lord's problem. You're the ones picking the load back up and carrying it back to the pew with you. You just got to keep bringing it to him until you finally get to that place where, "I can't do it, Lord, but I know you can. When I am weak, then he is strong." Let's all stand. Hymn 163, "Only Trust Him." Hymn 163. Lord, we thank you again for your love for us, and that, Lord, that you do care. You care about the pressures that we're under, and I pray that you would help us as we bring those burdens to you. Maybe there's somebody tonight who is just really burdened. I pray, God, that you would relieve that pressure, that, Lord, as they bring that to the altar, that you'd give them victory in their life. I pray we wouldn't be careful not to get too busy in life. Pray that we'd make time for our kids and for grandkids and for our spouses and family. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we juggle jobs and the irons that are in the fire, that you would help us to be careful but also selective as to what we do in this life. Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom. You said, "If any man like wisdom, let him ask of God." Lord, we ask for wisdom tonight. Well, thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing hymn 163, "Only Trust Him."